read through this passage this morning. I hate to make you sit down and stand up. You sit down and stand up, you might get exercise at church.
Are you like God?
Is my mic on?
No.
How about now?
No.
Now. I keep holding it in, it wouldn't come on. Maybe I was pushing the wrong button. Anyway, Revelation chapter 9, where we're going to pick up today, where we left off last week, in verse 13 of chapter 9. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who've been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of their horses resembled the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflicted injury. The rest of mankind were not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of their work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, the idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Father, I come to you this morning, and I just praise you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be here today on this side of your second coming, realizing and understanding that all these things are to take place. They are to come to pass because they are your word. And Lord, we have the opportunity today to trust you as our Savior and Lord. If someone's not already done that, they can do that today. But it's also an encouragement to everyone who does know you, who's given their lives to you, that this is a time that it's going by quickly. We have an opportunity right now to share Jesus Christ with anybody who will listen. Nobody's going to stop us from doing that. You've given us a free country. You've given us the opportunity. You've given us the ability. You've given us the understanding. And Lord, you are calling upon us to be your vessels to the people around us to tell them the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I thank you, Lord, for this day, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. Well, we looked last week at the fifth trumpet that was blown. A series of seven trumpets are going to be blown. The fifth was blown last time that we looked at this in the first portion of chapter 9. Today we're looking at the sixth trumpet. The first two woes are passed. The first woe was passed with the sixth trumpet. The second one is the sixth angel blowing his trumpet. Just a reminder of this. The trumpet was always a picture, and there's always a picture that something is about to happen. Something's about to happen. Now, when God says to us that something is about to happen, we ought to take that at face value. We ought to believe that it's going to happen soon. Again, soon to God and soon to us may not be the exact same thing, but what really matters is that I take it as what God says. If he says it's soon, I got to believe it's soon. I got to believe that he's coming soon for his people to take us to be with him like he promised his disciples in John chapter 14. He says, "I'm going to prepare that place for you. And if I go and prepare the place for you, I will doubtless come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way where I'm going, you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know for sure where you're going. So how could we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one's going to come to the Father except through me." So that promise that Jesus gave his disciples is also a promise he gives us. And the same way to God then is the same way to God now. It's through Jesus Christ. So if you know Jesus, If you have a relationship with Him, you've given your life to Him, praise God. When He comes to get His people, you get to go. If you don't know Him, oh, listen, folks. If you don't know Jesus yet, please give your heart to Christ. Because if not, you may be going through this very same time that we're looking at right here. The images depicted in this chapter make it one of the most disturbing passages in all of God's Word. In verses 1 through 12, we studied the description of a swarm of demons. These demons came to the earth to torment all of those who refused to bow to God. They tormented men for 5 long months and brought terrible suffering to those who were unsaved. The only grace in those verses is the fact that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will be spared from such attack because we'll already be with Him, or those who have accepted Him, by the way, during the first part of the tribulation will also be spared from this attack. It's also a blessing to know that those who are saved today will miss that terrible time because we are safe at home in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you something. You just can't imagine, and I just can't imagine, the goodness of the Lord doing this for us. Because what He's going to do is unleash His justice upon this world. Now, I don't want justice from God. I want grace. If I got what I deserved, I don't want that. But God has given us grace. He's allowing us to live in grace, even right now. He's allowing this country, this world, the peoples of this world to live during a time of grace right now. But one day God will say, enough is enough. My justice must fall. Because God is a righteous God. And how long will He wait for people to turn to Him? How long will He listen to many of those who have heard the good news and have said no to Him? How long will He listen to that? He is a just God, and He will make His judgment known to this world. Well, verses 14 and 15 begin the second section of the sixth trumpet. When the sixth angel blew his trumpet, I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is the altar before God. By the way, just a reminder, you recall in the studies that we've done on the tabernacle and then later on the temple, that part of the things that were there were articles that would celebrate who God is and devote worship towards Him. And in the innermost place, not the Holy of Holies, but in the holy place where the priests did their offerings of showbread and they lit the menorah, they would also offer up incense upon the altar. This is the altar it's talking about, the specific altar that it's talking about in verse 13. The altar, the golden altar that is before God. On that golden altar, on the corners of each of that altar were horns that stuck up. And these were called the horns of salvation. But these were the pictures of the prayers of the people coming up towards God. Now, with that in mind, we talked about this before, how important numbers are. And the four corners of this means that every portion of God's justice and judgment is going to come upon every corner of this world. The north, the south, the east, the west. Every portion is going to come. And so from the horns of the golden altar that's before God, the sixth angel blew his trumpet. Now look at verse 14. And he said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, listen to me. So I don't know how much more emphasis I can put on this, but every single moment of every single day, God has it planned out. God knows exactly what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. He knows exactly what's going to happen 100 years from now. He knows what's going to happen this afternoon. He knows everything. He knows every single portion. He has a specific time that all of these things are going to happen. He has a specific time when he's going to turn to Jesus and say, go and get your bride. In fact, Jesus said, nobody knows the time except the Father. But he knows the time. And he knows the time when this trumpet's going to blow. And he knows the time that these demon angels are going to be released. They are bound in the river Euphrates. Now, it's an interesting study when you do a study on the river Euphrates. It was a very prominent river in God's Word. A border of the Garden of Eden, we know that. Of the four rivers that are mentioned, this was one of the major rivers that bordered the Garden of Eden. A place of many firsts. It was the place of first sin. It was the place of the first murder. It was the place of first rebellion against the Word of God. It was the place of the first building of the Tower of Babel. It is also a place of the city of Babylon, the birthplace of false religion and the worship of false gods and demon worship. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That a place could be so known for something like that. And yet, this place was significant and is a significant place because this is where the four angels that are bound until this very moment when God says it's time, they're bound there. But when God says it's time, they're going to be released. And here's the plan. Make no mistake, these demonic angels are not acting on their own. They're carrying out God's plan of judgment. Why? Because God is always in control. Always. I have to remind myself of this many times. There's never going to be a time when something happens on this earth and God goes, wow, I didn't see that coming. God knows everything. He knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. He's in control. These angels had been kept for this very hour and day and month and year. In other words, God says, you're kept until I say it's time, and when I say it's time, you're going to be released. The time of every event is already a part of God's calendar. He's working out His will according to a highly detailed, specific timetable. God doesn't just do like we do lots of times. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I think I'll do this. Or, nah, I might change my mind. No, God has everything planned out. Everything has a timetable. Everything is at just the right time. Everything. Well, what's the purpose? Okay, as these angels are released, they are released specifically, the Scripture says, to kill one-third of the remaining people here on this earth. One-third of the remaining people. Considering the rapture, a lot of people had been taken out then, and the preceding death that we saw in Revelation chapter 8, verse 11, almost half of the world's population will have suffered death by this point. Literally, billions will die at the hands of these demonic forces. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're so taken back and worried about the coronavirus right now. People are going, oh man, I got to go, you know, buy masks, and I got to make sure that not, you know, I don't never run people that I don't know, and all this kind of, you know. And I understand that. I mean, we need to be protective. But folks, there's nothing that anybody is going to be able to do when God unleashes this force upon the world. It doesn't matter how many guns you have stored up. It doesn't matter that you have a safe house. It doesn't matter that you have a bunker that you can run into. It doesn't matter. Because what God says is going to happen will happen. It will. I can't state that enough. It will. Do I need to say it one more time? It will. They're going to kill one-third of the population of the world. And look at this destructive activity. Verses 16 through 19 spell it out for us. It says, beginning in verse 16, The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. And a third of the mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire and smoke and sulfur that came out of their mouths. And the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflicted injury. Now listen, I again really have a hard time wrapping my head around the huge army that's going to be 200 million of these demons that are going to be released upon this world. 200 million. It would take us a while to count to that. Right? 200 million. Now, is there any armies in this world that are that big? Actually, yes, there's one in China. They actually have a force of 369 million people who are ready to go to war. You might say, well, is it going to be the Chinese then? No. But I'm just telling you, there's going to be a massive army that will strike quickly and it will strike hard. And it will do what God has said. This army of demonic creatures, empowered by this evil spirit, will march upon this planet with total ruthlessness and will seem absolutely unstoppable. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed or recognized or seen people who seem to be ruthless in everything they do. They don't care about people. They don't care about what people think. They don't care about what people do. They don't care. They're going to do what they want to do. They will seem mild in comparison to these demonic forces because all they care about doing is killing, ruthlessly killing people. The symbol of this army, this will be an evil army of 200 million horse-like creatures with riders on their backs called horsemen. The four angels bound at the Euphrates River seem to be the leaders of these evil spirits, riding on horse-like creatures having heads of lions, emitting fire, smoke, and sulfur. They have tails like serpents from which their power is sent forth. And you might be sitting there thinking, now, this sounds like something that's in a comic book. Folks, this will not be a comic book. This will be real life. You know how I know that? Because Paul already wrote about it back in Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to hold your finger here and turn to your left just a little bit. Go past Philippians and stop in Ephesians chapter 6 for just a moment. And I want us to read verse 12 together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul was reminding the church at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now look at verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is reminding them, even then, that our battle is not against people. Folks, again, let me remind you, people are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. People are the prize. These people that are going to face this destruction are facing it because of the demonic forces that are released in the heavenly realms. And they are going to come with total abandon, and they are going to wreak havoc. Some believe these are pictures of futuristic weapons. And I guess that's possible. But I believe it's far worse than any of us could even imagine. I believe it's what God says it is. It's a demonic force that will attack this earth. And it will be so destructive that the people of this world cannot even imagine. I can't even imagine it right now, what it's really going to be like. But I praise God I want to be with Him. I want you to see, thirdly, this morning, the depraved activity. Now, this is what just amazes me. I don't guess it should amaze me because it's exactly what God says is going to happen. But this just amazes me. Look again down at verses 20 and 21. The rest of mankind that were not killed. Okay, so a third of the planet's population is going to be eradicated by this demonic attack. But it says the rest of God, the rest of the people of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, idols that cannot see or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic acts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Folks, listen to me. What has changed? Nothing. Even though God's judgments begin to pour out upon this earth and people see it happening and they realize it's the judgment of God, they're still yet unwilling. You know why? Because every person has an opportunity and a choice to accept God. Everybody. Everybody has a choice. But obviously these people have already made a choice. They're not going to accept God. They're going to turn their back on Him and they're just going to continue to live their life the way they want to live it and do the things they want to do and they're not going to even think about accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've closed the door on God. And I believe a person can get to that point. I believe a person can for so long reject God that God's Holy Spirit will be withdrawn. And no longer will they listen to the Spirit of God at all. They will only listen to their own heart. It's a terrible spot to be in, a terrible place to be in. There are going to be people like that who have said no to God for so many times, that's all they know is no. But it's interesting that even though they won't accept God, they'll start believing in other things. They'll believe in magic arts. They'll believe in sexual things. They'll believe in whatever they want. They are depraved. That's what the word literally means. They cannot comprehend the goodness of God. So they'll be depraved in their worship. All people worship something or someone, by the way. Did you know that? All people. Even if they say they're an atheist, you know what they're worshiping? Themselves. Everybody worships something or someone. Why? Because I believe with all my heart it's built into the creation by the Creator. We can either worship God, who is the Creator, or we will worship people, ourselves, or things, the created. And this is what man will be worshiping. By the way, folks, let me just tell you this. I don't want to get into a whole bunch of political things, although I'm very involved in what I believe about politics. But let me just tell you this. All these people that continually talk about climate change, they don't live in Craig. Right? You know, there's been climate change ever since the world's been here. There's been climate change. There have been periods of cold. There have been periods of warmth. It has nothing to do with a plant out here. But it has everything to do with worshiping the environment rather than the one who created the environment. And you know what? If there's one owl that gets shot, It's not going to change the whole environment. Do we need to protect animals? Sometimes, yeah. But sometimes we don't. The fact is we need to remember who the Creator is and worship Him and Him alone. But these people won't be. They'll be worshiping the Mother Earth. They'll be worshiping what they want. They'll be worshiping their own things that they come up with. It's amazing that people will be in such a depraved place at this point with all the things that have gone on. And yet they will be. And it's so tragic. It's so hard to comprehend how that could happen. They'll also be depraved in their works. It tells us in the last verse here that they will be given to murders and to magic acts and to sexual immorality and to theft. Murders. Human life will not. It'll seem to have absolutely no value. And by the way, is it any wonder when we abort millions of children every year? Did you know that those are really people? They really are. And yet most people don't even think about it anymore. It's not that big a deal. I mean, abortion is the law of the land, so we have to obey it. No, you don't. Because every one of those babies is alive. And when those doctors go in and kill those babies, they're not just removing tissue. They're killing someone. At this point, it won't matter at all. They won't think about murder as murder. It won't matter. Lives don't matter. People don't matter. It'll be a horrible time. Then it talks about their magic acts. The word literally is sorceries. The Greek word is pharmakeia, and it is particularly associated with what we think of the pharmacy, with drugs. More and more drugs will be introduced as being okay because everyone has a right to do what they want. In the interest of freedom, man will become a person in more bondage. Isn't that interesting? Oh, let's just let everybody do what they want to do. And so they will become more and more in bondage to the drugs that will be so prevalent. Taking over their bodies, their minds, their soul. It's a horrible, horrible time. Sexual immorality. God, I love this statement by Bailey Smith. He said, God designed sex to be exercised within the framework of the marriage relationship. Any sexual expression that takes place outside a marriage relationship involving one man and woman and one woman is a sin, and it will be judged by God. Let me tell you something, folks. That's the truth. That's God's truth. Why do we think it's not that big a deal? It is a big deal. And it will be so much more a big deal during these days when people have thrown up off all restraint. They won't care. It won't matter. Hey, we're going to die anyway. Let's just die doing what we want to do. Theft. Personal rights and property will mean absolutely nothing. You won't be able to put enough alarms on your house or buy enough guns to protect your home. Because when people see something they want, they'll take it. And if it means getting rid of you, that's what they'll do. Depraved at the core. Lastly, they're depraved in their wants. People will harden their hearts towards God and will believe the lie of Satan. Now, can you believe somebody would really do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it happened in the garden with two people who were pure, who had never sinned until that day when they decided they wanted something. And it was something that God said they shouldn't have. In essence, Satan's lie has always been that God doesn't really love you. If he did, he wouldn't keep things from you. Let me ask you a question. If you're a parent of a child, is there anything that you want to keep from your child? Absolutely. I have to draw some boundaries. I have to let them know what things are good and what things are bad. As a parent, you love your child so much that you don't just say, "Hey, whatever you want to do, you can do it." Your little 5-year-old comes in and says, "Can I go stay at my friend's house?" "Sure. No problem. Go. Come home when you want to." What? Jesus had reminded his disciples one day, would a father who really loved his child give him, who asked for something to eat, give him a stone instead of bread? Would he give him a snake? You know, what kind of parent does stuff like that? Satan wants people to believe it. And I just want to finish up with this passage that comes out of Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, verses 18 and 19. This is a true picture of what it's going to be like in that day. Paul says, they are going to be darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Think about that. That's what's going to happen. People are going to harden their hearts against God. "Hey, you didn't take me in the rapture. I don't care about you anymore. Whatever. They're going to harden their hearts against God. And they will not listen to the truth, no matter how truthful the truth is. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they have a continual lust for more." A few years back, there was a bill brought before the state of New Mexico that marriage could not be specifically honed down towards just a man and a woman. If a man wanted to marry a man, they ought to be able to. If a woman wanted to marry a woman, they ought to be able to. If a dad wanted to marry his daughter, he could. But it doesn't stop there. Now listen to this. Any person ought to be able to marry anybody or anything they want to. If they want to marry their dog, they could. If they want to marry... And those ought to be legal marriages that are upheld and given every right that every other marriage has. Folks, how, can I say it? How dumb is that? But what I really ought to say, how depraved is that? Because the people have lost all sensitivity. Now, it didn't pass, praise God, yet. But I know that if the people of God don't stand up, things like that are going to become more and more and more prevalent in our nation and in this world. Folks, we've got to stand for what's right. We've got to do what God's called us to do. There are people that live all around us, that work around us, that are parts of our family. They don't have a desire to know God. They don't know what it would be like to truly know God and have a relationship with Him. And the only way they're going to get to know it is through you and through me. It's the only way. It's why God left us here to be His ambassadors. To be, as the Scripture says, ministers of reconciliation. As though God were making His appeal through us. That's why we're here. Not just so we can gather together and sing songs, study God's Word, We are here because we are to take what God has given us and take it into this world that's hurting and hopeless and warped and messed up, and people who are struggling and people who are seeking and people who aren't even, they don't even know who they are. And God says, I want you to go to them and tell them about Jesus and what He's done for them. Because every person you know, every person that I know, every person that we come in contact with is an opportunity for us to share God's grace to people who need it. That's why we're here. That's why we go through this. That's why we see the things that are to come so that we can know in advance. I mean, isn't it nice to know in advance what's going to happen? I tell people all the time, I'm not so worried because I read the last book. I know what's coming. And a lot of people say, oh, you don't know for sure that's coming. I do know for sure. I do know for sure because I know God for sure. And when He says it, it will happen. You either have to trust Him or you won't. Nobody can make you do it. If I could make you, I would, but I can't. Because anything I could talk you into, somebody else could talk you out of it. But let me just tell you this, folks. God's Word is true, it's right, and by the way, it's just. And that means what He says will happen, will happen. And His justice will fall upon this world. It will. Father, I come to You this morning and I praise You that what You say is true because You are true. And I praise You for the fact that You have given us this Word. You have told us in Your Word what's going to happen. You have told us in Your Word what this world is going to experience. Lord, I just ask that You would help us just imagine for just a moment people that You've put in our lives that we know have never trusted You. They're living their own way. They're doing their own thing. They don't have a care for You. And yet, Lord, they're alive right now and they are an opportunity for us to share with them the greatest thing that's ever happened in our lives. Father, I pray right now that You would put one person, just one person on our mind and our heart that we know is just doing their own thing, living their own way, not having a care in the world about You. But Lord, we know them for a reason. And we have some kind of a relationship with them for a reason. And so, Lord, I pray that You would place them on our heart right now. And that, Lord, we would not stop praying for them until the day they come to know You as Savior and Lord. And that You would open up opportunities for us to email them, to talk to them, to go see them, to call them on the phone, whatever it is, to run across them in the store. Lord, You put them in our path for a reason and the opportunity for us to share the good news. Now, Lord, I know that every person has a choice. And they may say no. They may say, I don't want to hear it. They may say, I don't want to talk to You anymore. That's their choice. But, Lord, You have given us the commission and the command to go and to tell. And I pray, Father, we will, that we will not hold back, that we will not sit in our comfortable homes and just enjoy ourselves with the things that You've blessed us with. But, that, Father, we will be open and ready and useful to be vessels unto honor and meet for the Master's work. Lord, we are here for You today. And part of that is to hear what You're saying to us individually. Maybe you're here today in this place for a reason. And it's to hear that God loves you so much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. If that's you today, why wouldn't you trust Him today? This time is coming. We look at it in Scripture and you might say, well, I've still got time. You don't know that. I don't know that. Only God knows that. But let me just tell you this. If you put it off and put it off and put it off, there will be a point when it's enough. And God will say that's enough. And He will withdraw. He'll pull back. He won't talk to you anymore by His Holy Spirit and try to show you that He loves you, because He already has. And you've said no so many times. Or you might say, well, maybe sometime, maybe later on. You're already deciding when you say that. What you're saying is, I want to do what I want to do as long as I want to do it. And that's the portion of God's Word that He says, you shall have no other gods before you. When you decide you want to do what you want to do, you're saying, I want to be God of my life. And people make terrible gods. I just want to encourage you today, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do it today? Don't wait. Do it today. Right here, right now. You can simply pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that when You died on the cross, You died to cover all of my sins with Your precious blood. And because of that, I choose today to give You my life. I choose today to follow You, to make You Lord. I choose today to walk in Your way. And I will keep my eyes on You. And I will listen to You, and I will follow You. And I will do what You've asked me to do. I will trust You, Lord, with my life. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you've got somebody that God's put on your heart, your mind this morning. You know they're living their own way. They're doing their own thing. They're going for the gusto, so to speak. But they're missing the greatest thing ever, a relationship with Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. God's put them on your heart. Let me just ask you to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God put somebody on your heart this morning by name, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Amen. Amen. I saw hands all over. Thank You. Father, I wish every hand would go up, but I know this. You work through those who are available to You. Lord, I pray that we would be available to You so that You could speak through us. And Lord, we don't have to go preach a message. We just have to be there for people. Tell them how much You love them and tell them the way that they can come to You. That's all we have to do. It's not rocket science. It's just sharing what You've given to us with people all around us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your provisions. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all that You've done for us. I praise You, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name. We're going to stand and